It is Tuesday morning, just after 8:05. We check in with the City of Bloomington's council and the parliamentarians, our good friend Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thank you.
Do you have the suntan lotion out? The flip-flops raring to go? It's a hot one this week, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it. Feels not a good week to be cutting grass, I guess.
Well, you better do it before we get rain for the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or you'll be you'll need to buy a larger thing to mow with.
Exactly.
Last time we spoke to you, you had a very busy Wednesday night coming up with multiple meetings happening. You want to give us a little recap of what we might have missed?
Yes, last Wednesday we being city council, met with the mayor and his department heads, specifically our controller and the deputy mayor, and we discussed the forthcoming budget, got a little insight into what the controller sees coming forward from the state in terms of tax incomes coming in. And then the council was given the opportunity to go around one by one and express their concerns or their interest in going forward into the 2018 budget and what they would our wish list, I guess I should say. So, you know, I spoke about police and fire, making sure that we have the best possible for them in terms of salary and equipment, et cetera. And others, you know, expressed concern about environmental issues, social service activity. I'm just trying to think, go around the room and think what...
You ran the gamut.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think it's pretty reflective of individual...
Did any of this have to do with the survey that the city received as well? Have you guys looked at that?
No, we did. We did not discuss that.
Because obviously there's some things in there that the community has brought to light saying, hey, we'd like you to focus on. So it'd be interesting to see that.
Yeah, I think it's a little early for that just because people are just starting to digest it.
Sure, sure. And this is for the upcoming budget. This is for 2018, correct?
That is correct.
Just so people have a timeline on all of that. Well, it's not surprising that, is this the first time the council has been asked personally, hey, what would you like to be seen done? Or is this a traditional?
Oh, no. That's been there all the time. Yeah, going way back to Mayor Allison, at least, and it's been carried forward. So it's pretty much a traditional pre-budget get together and talk about, you know, what concerns are and what we'd like to see going forward.
Now we've seen local issues that have jumped into the fray. The culvert beneath 3rd Street, does that change how the budgeting is? We know that's more of a longer-term project. How does that kind of square peg fit into this round hole?
Well, I think what that will do, and it was actually covered yesterday in the HT, that will bring forward...
Yeah, it was covered by saying, we need to find money for this.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, it does bring it to the front burner, and that will be reflected in the budget. So,
and, Tim, the other part of that project is, does anybody have a gross number in mind for that, or is this going to be, we hope to put a few million here to fix this part, then we're going to fix the next part for a few million more? Does anybody have an idea of how that is going to be and what kind of hit that's going to give to the budget annually, or do you bond this project? I love talking to you because I don't get any of this stuff.
Yeah, I think it would have to be a bonded project just because of the scale of it. And, you know, the way that whole drainage area has been looked at, it's been done in a piece-by-piece manner. So it started off with the big dig at some point in time, and then it went to another section that connected it up even further to the south from Kirkwood down to Grant Street. And the section we're talking about is between Grant and Washington at 2nd Street. So, but from 2nd Street on Washington going all the way to where it comes above ground, that's all replaced, as you probably recall, a couple of years ago when Walnut Street was all closed up for a good period of time. So
now I'm going to start riffing right here because you 3rd and Grant right around that area where the obviously the crews are still doing a little maintenance work over there just to making it look nice, and that there's a huge development that's on the table for Grant That's Street correct. Between 3rd and 4th, does this all tie in together at some point?
No, I think the stormwater is a separate issue.
Okay, but because if they're going to dig a hole there to put in a foundation and you got all this stuff going on, it just seems like...
Well, yeah, and I think...
Life jacket is underneath your seat, can be used as a flotation device if necessary.
Well, the third, you know, the culvert is at 3rd and Lincoln, so it's a half a block away from where the project would stop, because I believe that project goes from the alley between Grant and Lincoln, goes from that alley, it goes towards Grant Street, so it goes uphill, the project, and the culvert is down in the bottom land of Lincoln, so going to the park, 3rd Street Park, and then going... again, diagonally over, picking up at Washington Street.
Gotcha. So it kind of skirts it.
Yes, yes. And they're two separate things. However,
well, I'm just saying, if you're going to be in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, talking with people at utilities, one of the big issues of this segment is that there are all sorts of sewer and water lines that are running parallel to and perpendicular to that culvert. So that's going to be a very intricate project to get through. Without cutting off service, so it's going to be a big project.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The City Council parliamentarian checks in every Tuesday morning just after 8:05 to help us out on what's happening with city government. What else is on the magic list?
Got a regular meeting tomorrow night, Tim?
Yes, we do have a regular meeting, and we have three items on the agenda. The same three we heard for committee last week, which was to approve refunding of bonds for the redevelopment area, and that is for the, what are we calling it, the Tech Park area of the city, the Trades District. So that's a refinance of bonds, and then we'll get into the municipal code for vehicles and traffic, and that's our traffic ordinance where we talk about limiting parking zones and you know, speeds on streets and all those sorts of things. And then we will wrap it up by talking about the Woolery Plant unit development, which is has come forward and received a good hearing this past Wednesday. So I think all three of those will be fairly non-controversial. And then we have first reading, which we can talk about next week. But again, it's vehicles and traffic. But this is specifically about human-powered vehicles, so bicycles, and it's more definition on bicycles and how cyclists can use the community, and it includes skateboards, roller skates, and coasters. So it's all human-powered vehicles will be discussed, but we can talk about that next week.
Is that more of an annual visitation of just making sure that's up to code, up to plan, up to speed?
Well, I think on next week's, that's a pretty healthy look going way back in time. It used to be that people would have to take and register their bicycles in the police department and give a serial number, and they would get a decal. And I noticed in going through this legislation that it's deleting all that. So that goes way, way back to sometime in the 70s when
yeah.
we actually had a licensing requirement for bicycles.
Imagine the paperwork
yeah,
on
but,
all
but
that.
But part of that, Tim, yeah. was that if you had a registration number and it was recovered, then you
yeah.
knew who owned it.
Or the
yeah,
registration
think,
number was scraped off.
Yeah,
the bike
I think, you know, licensing bicycles is kind of an interesting concept, and I guess it's going to go away, but...
it's a lot more unnecessary paperwork, one could argue, as well.
Right.
And maybe another fee-driven societal need that has gone by the wayside.
That's true.
Is there room, Tim, in the streets
for a bike
human-powered
rack? Absolutely.
Vehicles?
There's always room. Look outside.
Well, I know. They ride on the sidewalks.
You can see from our window there's green lanes and green boxes and everything here. There's tons of room for people to ride. I was on campus on Saturday on 3rd Street, and there's bike lanes going through the whole place. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I mean, though, Tim, is can you ride...
Tim, if you don't like my driving, stay off the sidewalks. Yeah. That's what I say.
Can you ride a skateboard in a bike lane?
Yes, I believe you can.
Okay.
Yeah, I think any human-powered device you can. And actually, you were talking about riding bicycles on sidewalks. This ordinance, I believe, allows it, but gives very specific detail as to how to ride, and you would have to dismount if the sidewalk is too crowded. And I think most importantly, the cyclist, if if a cyclist is traveling in the same direction as the pedestrian, so you're both walking north, you're walking north and the cyclist is coming up behind you, the cyclist is asked to signal that they are going to pass you.
Meep, meep.
Ring, exactly.
Those little bike horns we used to have.
People can't even figure out how to do that on the trail, Tim. I don't know how you're going to make them do that. So,
well, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
As long as you've got, again, if they... Just make sure you wear a full body armor suit and you'll be fine so you don't get run over on any of that. Tim Mayer's our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in. We always have a good laugh and get good information. Keith?
Back to your meeting tomorrow night. On the traffic things, and you mentioned it. What's on the agenda that you're going to talk about? Because you get into like traffic calming and things like that. Is any of that on there?
Well, there is no... I don't recall any traffic calming, but what we do talk about is restricting parking on one side of the street or the other side of the street. And those are some of the issues. We did talk about parallel parking and angle parking.
Mm-hmm.
The angle parking was specifically to the project that is going on at Henderson and Hillside. So that project will now, there was a little confusing coming out of the PUD discussion that we had a couple of months back. But now the parking will all be angle parking, pull-in parking, as opposed to back-in parking.
Okay. Alternate parking, is that one night you park on this side of the street, next night you park on that side of the street?
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. We don't know. What they do is, I'm just trying to think what stretch of road it is on. You go block by block. So one block you park on the west side of the street, and the other block you park on the east side of the street. So
you can see.
Yeah, so you can, and actually that is a form of traffic calming. So the driver has to be more attentive to the switch in the parking on the side of the street, and hopefully it slows the person down. So that's the objective there. But no, we do not do. Alternate side of the street parking by day, where they do in some cities so they can sweep the streets, that sort of thing.
I lived downtown years ago, and that was one of the things that if you got sick and you couldn't move your car, you potentially got it towed.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't do that.
Good.
So, yeah.
That's good. We like to hear that. Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in every Tuesday morning on... what's going now? We had the May 31st meeting. What's going on with that? Remember, that was supposed to be at Bloomington South, supposed to be a big deal. You told us there would be maybe something that comes out of that at some deal.
And I have not heard the result of those discussions with the mayor's office. And actually, I may learn more today because we have a meeting with the mayor to talk about issues coming up. So I know the council president and the mayor are talking about how to resolve that issue, but they will not, I repeat, will not be a meeting at South High School. So.
Tim, another issue is it was in the paper about the distillery and the issue and all that. At any point, does the city council come into view of the CBU and say, let's talk more about this, or we need to do something about this?
Well, it's funny you should ask. first of all, yes, I think there is a possibility for that to happen. But I think most importantly to understand is that the city's utility service board went through a lengthy process to put that policy in place. We're talking about grease interceptors.
Right.
And the utility service board did pass the ordinance that would require restaurants and food preparing establishments to put in grease interceptors to protect our sanitary sewer system from being clogged up with grease, fat, and oil. Part of that process was to bring it forward to the city council, which the city council did in fact pass that ordinance. So that is an ordinance that is set in place by both the city's utility service board and the city council. So to answer your question, is there room for discussion? I think yes, there is room for discussion. But I think the most important thing to understand is that it's to protect the ratepayers from excessive costs.
Do you initiate something like that, Tim, you as a city council person, or does the business have to try to initiate that to get it before the city council?
For a discussion?
Right.
Well, I think the discussion would actually, in my mind, the discussion would probably have to start back at the utilities department.
Okay.
And with the utility service board, and then work its way back up to the city council for if there were amendments or changes to the policy.
Are you? You're never like a court of appeals, though. They don't come to you to appeal some decision of the.
No, you know, for example, if Business X decided that they wanted relief, they would not come to the city council. They would come to the utility service.
That's
board
what I, okay.
First, yeah, that would be the way it would work in my mind. Now, I may not be accurate on that, but I think that's how it would go forward. So. You know, I think there is opportunities there for discussion, and I know there are some going on today, as a matter of fact, with another property owner. So, and I know it's a big expense, but the question has to be asked: is, you know, do the ratepayers feel it is justified for them to pay for somebody else's discharge? Basically, is what's going on, or the need to monitor and clean up that discharge if they're not doing it properly. And, you know, the city utilities department has agreements with people who discharge materials into the sanitary sewer that go beyond what are discharged from a residential property. So, for example, a factory that is using chemicals of some sort, or, you know, a food preparing area that's discharging into the sewer system that elevates the solids and grease, fats, and oils that go into the sewer system. You know, they can have very negative effects on the treatment, on the distribution system itself, the pipe that takes it from the establishment to.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what we did for 50 years before that.
Well, I think it does. But I think we lived in a different time too.
So. I'm just glad all that stuff survived all that.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of it is regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Sure.
And the Indiana Department of Environmental Affairs. So we have to be compliant with those regulations, we being the City of Bloomington Utility. So, yeah, it's a difficult problem, and I know it's a steep climb for some businesses to have to do that, but it's also part of... again, coming back to, you know, who shares the burden? Does every ratepayer want to pay more just so that can happen? I don't, personally. So.
Well, and it's, we'll see how that works itself out, obviously,
yeah.
Moving forward. We'll talk to Mick Renheisen on Thursday morning as well. I know he was quoted in the paper a couple times for this, so we'll get his thoughts on it moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that was a pretty fair article in the paper. I think it was pretty well laid it out. As to what's going on. So.
Right, but just the business climate moving forward and all that stuff, right. I get it. All right, tomorrow night, showtime.
6:30, City Council Chambers. It's a regular session, so people can come and give their opinion on items not on the agenda. And if they would like, they can stay and talk about the issues that come before us in terms of the bond refinance, the traffic and vehicle, and the PUD.
So. Grass, grease traps, sewer systems, you name
it. No, not tomorrow.
Oh, what?
Oh, they can come and talk about that in the public section. Yes,
that's right.
Of course.
Anytime. All right, great. We'll get an update next Tuesday, 6:30 tomorrow night. Sounds like a busy program, and we appreciate your time as always, buddy.